Psalms 25, verse 1. David and the army commanders then appointed men from the families of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun to proclaim God's messages. In another version, it says to prophesy to the accompaniment of lyres, harps, and cymbals. Here is a list of their names and their work. Then you've got a whole load of people. And then it says, verse 6, all these men were under the direction of the fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of cymbals, etc., etc. So, not going to go into detail because we've spoken on this passage before. But what you've got is here is whilst music is being played, so in 25 minutes time or something, 20 minutes time, music is going to be played and the people are going to be singing. We're going to be singing to God and we're going to be thanking him. And as music goes up, the prophetic comes down. If you just want it in a really simple way. Music goes up. And as we worship God, he begins to speak. That's a historical passage that says this happened. And it says that people were appointed, David appointed people to play the music. And then it says other people were appointed to then bring the messages that came. Therefore, on a Sunday morning, when sometimes one of you might get a sense of God speaking, write it down and bring it to the front because we should expect this to happen in a time of corporate worship. Okay? It's not odd. It's scriptural. Now let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, which is verse in the New, this is in the New Testament. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts, Romans, and then you hit 1 Corinthians, okay? So if you're going to the New Testament is a sort of later bit in the Bible, okay? And we go to 1 Corinthians 14, and it tells us very simply, we're going to go 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to look at the bit section which it says, orderly worship. So first bit, 1 Chronicles 25, was a historical. It was a history, okay? Just told us something that happened in the time of David. This is Paul, who came after Jesus. He was an apostle, and he is teaching the church in Corinth how to, in an orderly way, how to bring the prophetic, okay? And how to have gifts of the Spirit should be used in an orderly way in church. So in that 25 minutes that we have, or time of worship, how are we meant to do it in an orderly way? Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. I'm just going to read this bit. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. So if you're thinking summarize what, I'm not going to you read it at some other time today or something, but I'm just starting at 26, okay? So, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given them. In other words, a prophetic word. Could be that. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. A really good test, if someone shares a word and it's read from the front, does it strengthen you? If it doesn't, and someone's telling you off, question it. It's meant to strengthen. Now, you can be strengthened by a rebuke. You can. But generally speaking, just have a think about it. You know, is this strengthening me? Was that word that was shared at the front, did it strengthen me? Or did I feel criticized? Test it. Okay. Then, no more than two or three should speak in tongues. Now, we're not actually speaking about speaking in tongues here. But there's a teaching in this for us. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time. Why? Because if a whole load of people are jabbering away, it's confusing. So we do it in order. Because order means we're safe. Yeah? If a whole load of people are all having a go all at the same time, it's blooming confusing. And I've been in meetings like that. And in the end, you're going, we're meant to do all these things. We've got all these words. What do? I'm in a total muddle. So it's orderly. And that is why some of you might think this is a bit controlling, but that's why we ask people to write it on paper, so then it can come to the front, so someone whose job is to retain order can actually look at it and decide what goes out, rather than it's, you know, it's all comers doing everything, because people could go away confused. So please don't see it as controlling, see it as orderly for the body. Okay? Then, but if no one is present who can interpret, they must speak one at a time and someone must interpret what they say. Okay? That's to do with tongues, but actually if someone has a word, like a prophetic word, or someone say, I've got this picture of, I see this shower. I see someone, there's someone standing there and there's this shower coming down, there's water spraying on them, coming down. Well, that could mean anything, couldn't it? Could mean Robert, hi Robert, could mean you've just been in the shower this morning. And God says, I saw you in the shower this morning. Actually, that sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it? Yeah. It could mean that. A shower could mean, I just sense God, that is wonderful. I just know that God is just cleansing me. It could mean this. I was away on holiday and my favorite bit, I went away for a whole week and we went and we suddenly found ourselves in this wood, and suddenly there was, right in the middle of the wood, there was this wonderful waterfall pouring out on this lake, and in this sort of, you know, clearing or something. And I just sensed the presence of God when I was under that water. And when the person at the front says, I just saw you under the water, that person might have felt, whoa, yes, I know exactly what that's talking about. So you've got three different interpretations of a word. Yeah? So what it says here, if no one present can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. If you use the same thing for the prophetic, when someone gives a word, the person at the front must try to, we try to say, okay, there's the revelation, the word, then there's the interpretation of what that means, and then there's the application. What am I going to do with it? Otherwise, it's just pretty pointless, just having lots of people saying lots of different things, unless we're going to do something with it. Okay? So, and then it says, verse 29, let two or three prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. Okay? So we're there to evaluate. Now, a lot of this, you could say, this is in a corporate thing on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of people. And you could apply this to actually, this is the sort of thing you do when you're in a small group of 12, 15 people. But actually, it can still apply to us. Okay. So, then, the final thing, let's turn back a few pages, Acts chapter 2. So, before 1 Corinthians, you've got Romans, and then before that, you've got Acts. And this is wonderful. So, firstly, you've got the fact that prophetic stuff happening within worship is historically happens in the Bible. Secondly, you've got how do you do it in a group? And thirdly, who is it for? What is the prophetic? Who is it for? Let's look at this. Acts 2, verse 16. Peter stands up and he says, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. It says this. Acts 2 verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. That means you. All people. You. And then it says, your sons and daughters, you are either a son or a daughter, will prophesy. So in corporate worship, it's for all of us. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy. So, I think a very simple thing we can take from this is for all of us. Okay? So when we worship, in a corporate time of worship, 25 minutes or so, expect to hear from God. And expect to be able to, when you hear something, when he shows you something, come up. Okay. Now, one little thing. I would encourage you, don't, at the beginning of the time of worship, think, I've got to have a word. Because actually, you'll miss the time of worship. Just worship. And if he chooses to show you something, lovely jubbly. Otherwise, you miss just worshiping him.
So I just wanted to give an example of what to do when there is a prophetic word and how to take hold of it, I guess, because it's one thing to hear something on a Sunday morning. It's another thing to actually get it embedded into our lives. This morning when we were driving in, we drove past one of those sort of convex mirrors, you know, that show us when you're coming out of a drive when to see if anything's coming. Do you know what I mean? And I thought that's a little bit like a prophetic word on a Sunday morning. You can see that something's coming, but you've actually got to kind of focus and then edge out slowly to see exactly what it is. And I thought that was a kind of nice little image of what we need to do when we think God might be saying something. So last Sunday, there was a prophetic word before the service, and we were praying. We prayed between 9 and 9:45 in the prayer room if anyone wants to come and join us on Sunday mornings. And somebody had a picture, and I'll just read to you what she saw. I had a picture of our church having shadows at the edge that were creeping from the edge and trying to move inwards like waves, and people were living under darkness and fear. They were caught in the blackness while others carried on and didn't notice. I saw Jehovah Roah, how do you say it? Roah, which is God, our shepherd, standing over us, protecting us and keeping us safe in the pen. But the sheep were still afraid and they couldn't see that they were safe. I then had knowledge that the darkness was just a shadow and that the enemy was trying to trick us by looming over the safe pen, casting a shadow. The sheep are safe, but living as if in darkness. I felt God reassure us and say, it is just a trick of the light, a shadow on the wall. Stop living in the darkness and winter. The victory is here. And then she went on to read from Songs of Solomon. My lover said to me, rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come and the cooing of turtle doves fills the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. So she had this picture, and there was shadows around the edge of a sheep pen. Now the message was that the sheep are safe. So that's the truth, that God is a good shepherd and he looks after his sheep. So she saw this sort of darkness creeping over. And some people, what she felt was that some people might be more aware of the darkness creeping than of the truth that we're safe as his sheep. Now, this was a picture that she had. I happened to, at the time that she said it, I thought, oh, I think there's something in this. So it's sort of something in me resonated. That would be something for all of us when we hear something. Does it resonate? Do we think? Does something sort of nudge in our spirits that says, press into this one, look more closely into this mirror and see what it's about? Another question to ask is it biblical? Well, it is biblical that God is a good shepherd and that we are his sheep and that we're safe. So we know that if we're reading scriptures. We also know that the enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy. So it would be perfectly biblical to think that the enemy wants to steal what we have here. So this is, I felt just on the first sort of draft, this probably was from God. And so what we would do with this now is that, what I would do with it is that I would then say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Are you saying something to us as a church? Are you saying something to me personally? And I would ask him to speak to me more about it. Is there something that I am, where I'm coming under this shadow and looking more at the shadow than at the truth? And I'd ask him to show me that. Now, if your answer to that is no, I'm not looking at the shadow at all, then my response to that would be, okay, well, then my job then is just to declare the truth that has been revealed, which is that God is a good shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I could go through the chapter and just declare the truth of who God is and say, yes, I agree, because this prophetic word, if it is prophetic, it means that we need to respond to it and do something. And so taking the truths in it and declaring them over us and over our church is a response that we can have to that. Now, if my answer is yes, and that I have been looking more at the darkness, then that's something where God is wanting to say to me, stop looking at the darkness, or the winter, as the other image that was given there. Look at the truth. Look at the fact that spring is coming, that summer is coming, that the promises that God has for us are going to be released. And so focusing on, doesn't mean that, if you're relating that to your life, doesn't mean that tough things aren't happening, doesn't mean that situations aren't difficult, but it's what am I focusing on? And maybe that's the challenge. Am I focusing on the difficulties, or am I focusing on the truth of what God says to us? So that's just a little example of how you can take something, a prophetic word, and sort of push into it, look closer. What are you saying, God? And actually, we are called to respond to it. There's this lovely verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, three verses, that say, do not stifle the Holy Spirit, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. So we are actually commanded to hold on to what is good. It's not okay for us as a church to let a prophetic word go in one ear and out the other and forget about it. Actually, for us to learn to take hold of it and to hold on to what is good. And that means dwell on it, pray on it, take hold of it. Does it impact me? Does it impact my good friend? Am I going to say something to her, to him? You know, am I going to encourage my brothers and sisters in something that the Lord has said? So otherwise, I think we could be in danger of scoffing at prophecies, which is what this is saying we mustn't do. So that's just a way of taking hold of things, not to put a kind of weight on us, but just say, this is actually who we are. This is who we are as the people of Christ, to take hold of the prophetic words that God gives us, just to encourage you to do that. So, and the other thing I was just thinking is if you want to practice this week, I mean, there may be some prophetic words that come up this morning, in which case, take those home and chew over them. If not, last week there was a guy here, Christian Forster, who, as he spoke, he kept going off on tangents, but if you go back and listen to it, I think that you will find, because again, I've just had that sort of resonation with what he said, that there are some prophetic things for us as a church that he said. So you could go back and listen to that and just kind of jot them down and say, Lord, are you saying something to us? Test it, weigh it up. That's our job, to test and to see if it really is God. There may be things in there you think, no, I don't think that is for us. That's part of what testing is. That's absolutely fine. But it's looking at something and seeing what God wants to say to us. So prophetic, songs, some of the songs we sing, they can have prophetic messages. It may be that as we sing, something in you thinks, oh, that's more than it was last time, that song. Sometimes reading scriptures, so like that one that Silas read from 1 Chronicles 25, it was just something that happened historically, but God has given it to us as a church as a sort of model for how he wants us to operate. He did that many years ago, gave us that scripture as a prophetic word for us, that as we worship here, the family of hope, that he will speak his words of life and truth and insight to us. So that's what we can do. Let's worship.
I just wanted to say one thing I've just realized. When we say someone has a prophetic word, when you actually give it or have it, you don't know it is. You don't know it's prophetic. So you just offer it. You say, hey, I've got a word. And then in time, you see whether it is really. And so we reflected on that word from last week. And actually, the reason why Annie said it is that we sense that it was. And actually, an interesting thing was Jane. Jane, hello. Can I have that sheet of paper? Jane, I don't know if you remember this, Jane, but Jane, you were in the prayer room this morning. Jane's over here. And you said to me, you just looked up at me, and you said, it's really happening, isn't it, in this city? Something is really going on in this city. The kingdom of God is coming in this city. And then you said, we've prayed for this for a long time. You said it. I didn't say anything to you. You just said that to me. What was the word from last week? Look, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come. I would say that was another little nudge, and I didn't think about it. You just said it this morning, but as Annie was saying that, I was thinking, yeah, people begin to start saying there's something coming. Wow. Let's stand and worship. And actually, what we're going to do first, because we appreciate that lots of people like to worship in different ways, and we want to acknowledge that. And so we've got various songs. And if you like dancing, find some space. So maybe some of the back rows, if you can just, let's move some chairs. Can we move some chairs from there? Because there are some people, and that's what you love doing. There are other people that you love taking scripture, and you don't find it easy singing, but you might grab your Bible and just read some scripture, okay? Dancers, I encourage you, get rid of the chairs at the back, create space. It would be inappropriate to dance in the front here because it might be a bit distracting. Okay? So we want you to do that. If you suddenly want to drum along because there's some drumming stuff, you do that. Okay? But we're appreciating they're all different. But as we do this, our opening part of worship is we've got a guy called Dr. Lockridge, and hopefully, is Michael there? Yes, he is. We're going to listen to this first because this is someone just describing his king. Jesus, his king. So use this. We're just going to have this coming out. And then we'll go into sung worship. Okay? You might want to stand up because this is declaration time. Okay. Key thing about this is if it comes out, let's have it nice and loud.